18. Dawn. The light was so brilliant that for a full minute Norton had to keep his eyes clenched tightly shut. Then he risked opening them and stared through barely parted lids at the wall a few centimeters in front of his face. He blinked several times, waited for the involuntary tears to drain away, and then turned slowly to behold the dawn. He could endure the sight for only a few seconds, then he was forced to close his eyes again. It was not the glare that was intolerable. He could grow accustomed to that. But the awesome spectacle of Rama, now seen for the first time in its entirety. Norton had known exactly what to expect. Nevertheless, the sight had stunned him. He was seized by a spasm of uncontrollable trembling. His hands tightened around the rungs of the ladder with the violence of a drowning man clutching at a lifebelt. The muscles of his forearms began to knot, yet at the same time, his legs, already fatigued by hours of steady climbing, seemed about to give way. If it had not been for the low gravity, he might have fallen. Then his training took over, and he began to apply the first remedy for panic. Still keeping his eyes closed and trying to forget the monstrous spectacle around him, he started to take deep, long breaths, filling his lungs with oxygen and washing the poisons of fatigue out of his system. Presently, he felt much better, but he did not open his eyes until he had performed one more action. It took a major effort of will to force his right hand to open. He had to talk to it as though it were a disobedient child, but presently he maneuvered it down to his waist, unclipped the safety belt from his harness, and hooked the buckle to the nearest rung. Now, whatever happened, he could not fall. He took several more deep breaths, then, still keeping his eyes closed, he switched on his radio. He hoped his voice sounded calm and authoritative as he called, "Captain here. Is everyone okay?" As he checked off the names, one by one, and received answers, even if somewhat tremulous ones, from everybody, his own confidence and self-control came swiftly back to him. All his men were safe, and were looking to him for leadership. He was the commander once more. "Keep your eyes closed until you're quite sure you can take it," he called. "The view is overwhelming. If anyone finds that it's too much, keep on climbing without looking back. Remember, you'll soon be at zero gravity, so you can't possibly fall." It was hardly necessary to point out such an elementary fact to trained spacemen, but Norton had to remind himself of it every few seconds. The thought of zero gravity was a kind of talisman, protecting him from harm. Whatever his eyes told him, Rama could not drag him down to destruction on the plain, 8 kilometers below. It became an urgent matter of pride and self-esteem that he should open his eyes once more and look at the world around him. But first, he had to get his body under control. He let go of the ladder with both hands and hooked his left arm under a rung. Clenching and unclenching his fists, he waited until the muscle cramps had faded away. When he felt quite comfortable, he opened his eyes and slowly turned to face Rama. His first impression was one of blueness. The glare that filled the sky could not have been mistaken for sunlight. It might have been that of an electric arc. So Rama's sun, Norton told himself, must be hotter than ours. That should interest the astronomers. And now he understood the purpose of those mysterious trenches, the Strait Valley and its 5 companions. They were nothing less than gigantic strip lights. Rama had 6 linear suns, symmetrically ranged around its interior. From each, a broad fan of light was aimed across the central axis, to shine upon the far side of the world. Norton wondered if they could be switched alternately to produce a cycle of light and darkness, or whether this was a planet of perpetual day. Too much staring at those blinding bars of light had made his eyes hurt again. He was not sorry to have a good excuse to close them for a while. It was not until then, when he had almost recovered from this initial visual shock, that he was able to devote himself to a much more serious problem. Who, or what, had switched on the lights of Rama? By the most sensitive tests that man could apply to it, this world was sterile. But now, something was happening that could not be explained by the action of natural forces. There might not be life here, but there could be consciousness, awareness. Robots might be waking after a sleep of eons. Perhaps this outburst of light was an unprogrammed, random spasm, a last dying gasp of machines that were responding wildly to the warmth of a new sun and would soon lapse again into quiescence, this time forever. Yet Norton could not believe such a simple explanation. Bits of the jigsaw puzzle were beginning to fall into place, though many were still missing. The absence of all signs of wear, for example, and the feeling of newness, as if Rama had just been created.